Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come
aboard. Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Hubble happy hour. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Cleveland to Columbia, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. How about that All-Star Game festivity, the Home Run Derby last night? Aaron Judge feeling drippy.
I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
My goodness. That was fantastic. We will discuss coming up here. Also, Mayweather-McGregor finally has a price tag.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
Rick Neuheisel, CBS college football analyst, will join us from SEC Media Days in about 30 minutes from now, about a half hour from now. We'll discuss SEC, which is very cool. Our friend Steve Overmeyer from CBS Channel 2 in New York is going to be in studio. We'll play 10 questions with him. That's always a good time. It's a Trash Tuesday around here.
What you think about that, D.A.?
I'm telling you, we've got it all today here on the show. So hit us up on the phones. Oh, also Governor Chris Christie, embattled from the state of New Jersey, gets called out on Sports Talk Radio from a constituent, from a taxpayer, from a resident of his state. A very combative shift that he had on WFAN in New York yesterday. So we've got the audio for you. We've got a lot of action on today's show.
That's very good, Damon.
So hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Last night was compelling. Last night was theater. Last night was jaw-dropping. Aaron Judge mashing home runs into the night up against the glass wall in center field, just destroying all comers and living up to the hype was awesome. Was absolutely fantastic. And let's say this about the Home Run Derby. I think they finally figured it out. Instituting the clock was so much better, knowing that you're going to get in and out in less than three hours, between 2.5 and 2:45, instead of what was previously a 4-hour event. So much better. To have rounds, you knock guys out, it's head-to-head, you have the clock, get a few bonus seconds. And I thought also notable last night, how about in brief timeouts, 30-second timeouts in between swings, they had a picture-in-picture ad. They broke away in during at-bats, kept the camera, one camera trained on the hitter, and then they had kind of a three-quarter screen graphic of the commercial. That should be the future of televised sports in America. Because there is no reason in the NFL to score a touchdown, commercial, kick the extra point, commercial, You know, you score a touchdown, then they got to review it. Every score is reviewed. Commercial, they cut away. Then they kick the extra point, commercial, cut away. Then they do the kickoff, and then commercial, cut away. There's no reason that should happen. What they should have is if they are going to review the scoring play, don't cut away from the game. Give me a 30-second or a 60-second commercial while I'm still watching the players on the field so I know I'm getting back quickly. Because once you cut away, you're killing my momentum. You're killing the buzz. You could do that after a kickoff as the team is taking the field, getting ready in the huddle. Then you break away and you have a full screen commercial or a three-quarter screen commercial. So I'm actually still attached to the game that I'm watching. I thought that was very interesting last night. But more so, what Aaron Judge did was breathtaking. And here's a guy at 25 years old that burst upon the scene the way that he did and absolutely delivered on all counts last night. I mean, some of those home runs, my God. So where we begin, it's your cold open.
Yeah, adrenaline was pumping a little bit. But yeah, I tried to use the whole field and just square up every ball I could. You know, since there was a clock on there, you can't really take pitches and kind of pick one out. So if it's away, I'll try to drive it to right. If it's middle in, try to hit the glass out there. I was already nervous going into it. I think everybody was a little nervous. But what once Justin put on that show like that, I just had to go to work. You know, I was having fun out there and just had to go to work.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Well, few guys have ever made it look that effortless, especially at that age. And if we assume he's not all jacked up and juiced up on steroids because he's just naturally 6'7 and a behemoth, that was as effortless as monster home runs ever look. And the guy is a member of the Yankees. So, obviously, he's got a lot of attention on him. He plays in New York. He's already taking down legends in franchise history. Now tied. Is he tied with Joe DiMaggio, or did he just break Joe D's record of most home runs by a rookie? He's at 30 in basically the first half of the season before the All-Star break. It's extraordinary what he is doing. He just passed Joe D. Joe D was at 29. He's at 30. But more than anything was how he comports himself, how he composes himself, how he handles the interest or the celebrity. He always defaults to his teammates. He seems like a really grounded young man. And he's just kind of the perfect guy to come in here and do feats of strength. He really feels that way. I mean, it's almost like Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred sat in a laboratory and said, well, what do we need? Well, we need a superstar in New York. We need a superstar with the Yankees. We need him to crush home runs the way that Babe Ruth captivated the imagination. We need him to be humble and grounded. And lo and behold, they got Aaron Judge. But last night was one of those performances I'll remember. Mark McGwire in the 99 All-Star game at Fenway Park, just sailing home runs onto Lansdowne Street over the Green Monster. I'll never forget, onto the Mass Pike, even though Junior Griffey won that home run derby. Josh Hamilton into the night, one of the most amazing rounds ever at Old Yankee Stadium. And then last night, that's kind of your list of the most memorable home run derby performances. It was fantastic theater last night. And I don't care if you're a Yankee hater or what, I think it's just impossible not to enjoy watching Aaron Judge play. And I think he's going to taper off in the second half of the season. I don't think he's going to put up another 30 spot. I don't think he's going to reach 55, 58, 60 home runs. But this kid should be really good for a really long time. And if you look at the talent around baseball between the ages of 20 and 27, it's outrageous. I mean, Aaron Judge, Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, Manny Machado. Now you've got Bellinger in Los Angeles. Obviously, Clayton Kershaw is older than that, but you are watching one of the greatest pitchers ever in Clayton Kershaw of the modern era go at it right now. There is a lot of young, amazing talent to lock into when it comes to Major League Baseball. It's great. What'd you think about the Home Run Derby and Aaron Judge last night? 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter, DA on CBS. Let me say, though, there is a couple of things I can grade down on last night's Home Run Derby. Number one, the call. Whew. I don't miss Chris Berman, but I thought that Carl Ravitch and Mark Teixeira and Jess Mendoza had a tough night. I mean, they are all talking over one another. It is all just like I couldn't follow anything. They didn't really know the rules. I liked Ravitch being a more reserved play-by-play guy than Berman's over-the-top cliche back nonsense. I needed done with the Berman era, but Ravitch needs to be able to kind of like more clearly define what is going on in the Home Run Derby. All three of them were just screaming over one another. And number two, not for nothing, but Carl Ravitch promotes it coming out of that Pitbull performance, which, by the way, Pitbull's dancers showed more energy than the Marlins have the entire season. Carl Ravitch comes out of it and says, coming up, the most anticipated Home Run Derby ever. I mean, I guess we just forget 99 at Fenway when it was Maguire, Sosa coming off of their home run chase, and Griffey. I guess we just forget that. It's slightly more anticipated than Giancarlo Stanton, Miguel Sanu. No, Mohamed Sanu I'm thinking about. Miguel Sano and Aaron Judge. So slightly more intriguing when you have what we thought at the time, three of the greatest home run hitters ever. Well, they were. I mean, they cheated. Well, two of them cheated. But at the time, you're coming off the 98 season where Maguire hit 70, Sosa hit 66. I think that year Griffey hit 56. And they were all going to historic Fenway Park, which hadn't hosted an All-Star game in forever. And they were going to attack the Green Monster. Do you think that was slightly more anticipated of a home run derby than last night? You know, that's my problem sometimes, not only with modern media, but ESPN in general. It's like if it didn't happen yesterday, it didn't happen. The most anticipated home run derby of all time. I guess we slept through Maguire Sosa Jr. in 99. Joel's in California, listening on the CBS Sports app to CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Joel?
Hey, what's up, DA? How you doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I was just going to say, man, I agree with you on the cutaway, like the half screen. WWE started doing this about 4 years ago, and it's been very successful. They don't do it all the time because they run more commercials than I think they actually run content, honestly. But I've been in some of those production meetings, and the thought was, oh, it's going to ruin people coming to live shows. It's total has not affected anything. People still go to the live thing. You know, I think you could do it with basketball, show a little bit of the cheerleaders, like, you know, some of that action, you know, when it's just a shortcut, like the 30-second timeouts. I mean, there's some real amazing ability there, and you don't lose your ad revenue, and at the same time, you kind of keep people engaged in the game. So I fully agree, and, yeah, I mean, Judge was awesome last night. I can't believe that. That first round went against Boer, where that guy put up 20-some-odd home runs, and Judge has got to go top that. I mean, geez, that was
Yeah, and then he goes out there and you kind of know that he is going to do it. Totally agree with you on the commercial point. You know, it keeps your attention when you would normally check out because part of your attention is looking at what's happening still in the game and what's happening during that timeout instead of totally cutting away to commercial. And it just makes so much sense now considering, you know, people want the action. They want it on demand. I think about soccer. And soccer, because they don't take commercial breaks, obviously, outside of pregame and halftime, it's a 45-minute running clock, they can't squeeze commercials into it. So what do? Well, they have title sponsors during the action. And so above the scoreboard, you'll see Budweiser or Coke or McDonald's or whatever above the scoreboard. And it's along the same lines. You keep the action on the field going. You keep the cameras and the broadcast. They never leave the field, but then you have three-quarter screen commercials that are running, and you pot the audio down of the actual game. And so are you more likely, I think about the scroll a lot on ESPN2 or ESPN the ticker. Are you more likely to stick around for a commercial when that ticker is going on under it? Absolutely. So keep me invested in what's going on instead of having me get up and go, well, I'm not going to miss anything, so I might as well just get up and go to the bathroom, get a beer, whatever. When we come back here on the show, speaking of televised sports, Mayweather and McGregor has a price tag. We know it's official. Now, will you pay it? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
You know, Aaron Rodgers broke his heart. Hashtag stay away from me, buddy. A video that, you know, I've gone to psychological counseling for.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Summer Z can cause your battery fluids to evaporate. Get your battery tested for free. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people will help you find the battery you need. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. After last night's home run derby, the long ball is back. Michael tweets, DA, I will always remember watching McGuire, Sosa, and Jim Thome crank 550-plus footers as a kid. Hashtag bring back steroids. I can't get behind that. Hashtag.
I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
Last night was a drippy night. Chuck tweets, the CFL actually does the in-game ads during change of possession and kickoffs again, making Canada great again. See, that's a good thing. I love that. The NFL should institute that. They're all worried about ratings and people not watching TV. Well, guess what? You're killing the momentum of the game by cutting away to commercial breaks constantly. And that's why last year, I think it was on, I think Fox started doing it first because Joe Buck kept mentioning it, right? We're only going to be away for 60 seconds. This is just a 60-second commercial break. Making sure everybody knows, stay with us, stay with us. Well, keep the broadcast going at the stadium and just embed the commercials at three-quarter screen. Jay tweets, anything and anyone is better than Chris Berman on the home run derby. I had the volume turned off when that buffoon was on. Yeah, it got real tired, real old. I mean, my heart goes out to what his family and he has dealt with the last couple of months. My goodness, I can't even imagine having lost his wife that way in the drunk driving accident. But just Berman's calls just got tiring. I mean, because he had been doing it for so long and you kind of knew what to expect and it just seemed hokey. But last night, Carl Ravitch, if you're not going to be back guy, that's fine. But you've got to clearly be calling what's going on to the three of them. Him, Teixeira, and Mendoza are just screaming over one another. I mean, especially when Judge was up there. It just became scream fest. Mayweather-McGregor is set, and the price is now set. It's going to cost you $89.95 for standard def, an extra $10 more, $99.95 for HD.
It's about the money, M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
A lot of people are going to pay that. That's what Mayweather-Pacquiao cost. You know, I'm going to have to buy it. If I don't go all in solo, I know I'll be going all in with friends. And so I'll be paying a chunk of this, whatever, wherever it is that I watch it. But I'm preparing myself to be disappointed. I do not think I'm going to get $100 worth of entertainment out of this. I just don't. And in fact, if I didn't have this job where I knew we had to be talking about it, I don't know if I'd buy it. I mean, that's how boring I think this will be. That's how predictable I think this will be. The greatest defensive boxer ever is going to step into a ring and box a guy that's a wrestler. Well, is a mixed martial artist. Do I think that McGregor is going to get any punches in? Not really. Do I think that McGregor can win? Absolutely not. Do I think that McGregor is going to hit Mayweather in the face and stagger him to knock him back? No, because nobody does that, let alone a guy that hasn't boxed since his amateur days. Conor McGregor is an amazing mixed martial artist. He's an amazing athlete. He's explosive. He's tough. He's got swagger. He's got great technique. He's got everything in terms of mixed martial arts. But do I think he's going to knock out or stagger or win a decision against Mayweather? No chance. No chance. So basically what we're waiting for is if maybe because Mayweather is old, that maybe Mayweather slips up and leaves himself open for a hit in the face, for a headshot, and that maybe McGregor connects, and maybe McGregor connects and staggers him. Is he going to knock him out? Is there going to be a TKO? No way. Is he going to win by decision? There's no way McGregor's going to land that many shots. So I'm very hesitant to spend the money, but I will because I know we'll be talking about it. $100, $99.95 in HD to watch Mayweather McGregor. You paying? 855-212-4CBS. We'll get to college football from SEC Media Days coming up here next as Rick Neuheisel is going to join us from CBS. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Open now for brunch.
Hi, how
are
you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. Oh, God.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, God. Remember, you can always watch the show on a daily basis by checking out our digital broadcast. Go to watchda.com. Yes, that's watchda.com. You'll get to see all of the hijinks in sparkling HD on your computer, on your laptop. It's mobile-friendly as well on your mobile device, tablet, or your cell phone. Okay, so SEC Media Day is going on as we speak. It's always kind of a perfect storm because there's not a lot going on in sports this week, and the SEC knows it can shoehorn its way into the conversation, which is brilliant because they are what everybody talks about in college football. From SEC Media Days, CBS Sports Network's college football analyst, our friend Rick Neuheisel. Rick, how you doing this morning?
I am fantastic. I mean, what could be better than spending 4 days in Hoover, Alabama, talking just nothing but college football?
It's a pretty good time to be alive, indeed. And yesterday, Butch Jones was answering questions about what people feel are his lack of performance in terms of taking that Tennessee team to the next level. Do you think that this year is make or break for Butch?
Well, there's no question that the average Tennessee fan wants more than a 4-4 conference record. You know, Tennessee considers themselves a blue blood in the world of college football, and it's been a long time since they've been to Atlanta. It's been a long time since they've been in the conversation, and the calendar turns to November, and so they're and last year was supposed to be the promised land, right? They were picked by everybody at this media day circus a year ago to win the East, and it got off to a great start, but then, you know, plummeted pretty quickly, and they gave up 600 yards to their in-state rival Vanderbilt at season's end. So there were a lot of naysayers in the Tennessee camp. With that being said, you know, Butch kind of took it on and said, hey, we're champions of life, you know, five-star personalities and five-star character, and it kind of agitated the fan base that, hey, we're doing just fine because their expectations weren't being met. I think Butch has kind of tempered that now. I think, you know, he can point at 2 9-win seasons and say, hey, look, we're climbing this mountain. And the mountain, without question, is Alabama. I call Alabama Everest, right? They've got their pickaxes. They're at the halfway house with these 2 9-win seasons, both finishing with, you know, impressive bowl wins, and now they've got to take the next step. And it's a little bit more cumbersome a journey, at least from outside looking in, because we don't know the names. Who is Quentin Dormady? You know, who is going to be the star tailback with Kamara gone? Who is going to be the big-time pass rusher with Derek Barnett gone? So those are the kind of issues that they're talking. But if you talk to the Tennessee kids yesterday, the players, they are united. They believe that they've got the necessary talent base, and it's going to be an exciting season for Tennessee, especially if the quarterback position can be played anywhere close to the way Dobbs is playing it at season's end a year ago.
Rick Neuheisel, CBS Sports, joins us from SEC Media Days. Also, a lot of attention on Ed Orgeron yesterday as the new head coach, well, full-time of head coach of the LSU Tigers. Obviously, feels like the perfect fit. But he also has two very highly touted coordinators to lean on as well. Do you think the fit of having a guy like Coach O as the head coach and then two strong coordinators that oversee the offensive defense, do you think that works for LSU?
He may have been the happiest person in the building yesterday. He was walking around like, you know, I'm finally doing what I've always wanted to do, which is be the head coach in my home state of Louisiana. There is no question he was giddy to be in the position that he is. And you mentioned lean on coordinators. I think it's going to be more than that. I think he's absolutely going to hand the ball and the baton over to those coordinators to do their jobs. Dave Aranda, who came from Wisconsin, much heralded defensive coordinator. They retain him there. He's making in excess of $1 million. Matt Canada comes from Pitt after having a pretty banner season there for the Panthers. He's making in excess of $1 million. I think he's going to, you know, cede all the control to those guys. And in so doing, I think it's the right thing. He, you know, if he looks back at his run as the head coach at Ole Miss, he thinks he was way too controlling, way too domineering. And so I think this second go-round after his runs as an interim both at USC and at LSU, he's learned his mistakes. And so I think he's going to do a good job. The question is, and what will ultimately decide his fate, is can he manage a game? You know, and the only close game that they played last year, that Florida game, the final play where the running back goes the wrong way, and in talking to him yesterday, that running back, he said, listen, they told me to go run that play. It was confusion. That can't happen in Ed Ogeron's run at LSU. You can't have confusion on when to go for it, when not to go for it. The management of the game from the head coaching pulpit has to be done seamlessly, and that's the question if he's ready to perform those duties. Because what you saw in the Les Miles era, that Mad Hatter, where it was just looked like anarchy going on the field, ultimately cost him in that Auburn game a year ago when Joe Oliva finally pulled the trigger.
There is some talk now about a 14-week schedule for the SEC. That would be 12 games and 2 bye weeks in the SEC. Do you think that schedule works?
Well, of course it does. And again, it the television people love it because they get to extend, get one more weekend out of it. At the end of the day, money and television revenue are going to drive this conversation as long as it isn't harmful for the student athlete. Student athletes are already round the clock and frankly want to be. They enjoy the process of getting ready for a season. They certainly enjoy the season, but we got to make sure that we're not putting too much on them as we have these conversations. But 14 weeks, based on how the calendar lays itself out, to me is not a problem.
Rick Neuheisel joins us. So we talked about Tennessee and the SEC East. Florida and Georgia are going to be two of the favorites of the SEC East as well. And Kirby Smart has a lot of talent. He's got a very, very good young quarterback. But Florida's won the SEC East the last couple of years. Both those coaches will be talking today, Jim McElwain and Kirby Smart. Out of those two, who do you think is the better football team going into 2017?
Well, the SEC needs both those teams to get back to their full strength. You know, Georgia and Florida are national brands. The NFL draft most recently, the number one state represented at the end of the draft was the state of Georgia. They had 29 kids drafted, and yet only one of them played for the University of Georgia. So for Georgia and Florida to get back to being the prolific teams, and as I say that about Georgia, I want to remind you that not since 2009 has Florida had an offense that's had over 400 yards a game average. And when the national leaders are average over 500, so Florida needs to get back to the fun and gun era and where they can put up the explosive numbers and take advantage of the very rich state and of talent the state of Florida harvests on a yearly basis. And Georgia needs to find an offensive rhythm in themselves. The good news for both programs is I think they realize that that's the issue. Jacob Eason's kind of come into his own. At least that's the hope if you're an Athens fan, that you'd see Georgia find their rhythm offensively. Chubb and Michelle are both back at running back, so if the passing game can come along and they can develop some big-time receivers, then I think you can expect that Georgia is going to be good. I know they've got a slew of guys coming back defensively. And then for Florida, the question is, can Malik Zaire or Felipe Franks, you know, materialize and be what Will Grier was going to be before he transferred? The story of quarterback at Florida is more about who's transferred and done well when you think about Murphy and Brissett and Newton and Driscoll, all the quarterbacks who have left Florida and gone on to be pretty proficient quarterbacks at other universities. It's eventually got to be somebody doing really well at Florida, and that quarterback competition will be really interesting. And if it is Zaire, the transfer from Notre Dame, will they go to a dual-threat offense? Because McElwain and Nussmeier together have been more of a West Coast deal, and are either of those guys, Felipe Franks and Zaire, capable of being really proficient in West Coast offense? I don't know that answer. We'll have to wait and see.
Rick Neuheisel joins us from SEC Media Days. Before I let you go, tomorrow there is such a spotlight on Kevin Sumlin. He will speak, head coach of Texas A&M. Do you feel like this is a year that Sumlin breaks through and gets beyond the 8-5? Because there is a lot of pressure on Sumlin. Do you also think that he's got the most pressure out of all the coaches in the SEC this year?
Well, he's got the only AD that said he has to win more than 8.
Yeah, right.
when Scott Woodward basically said he's got to win more and he's got to win more now, I don't know that there's been a clearer message sent from the athletic director's seat to the head coach. In some ways, you may say that's refreshing. In some ways, you're going, holy cow. You know, Kevin Sumlin is the victim of his own success. Unfortunately for him, he won 11 games and had a Heisman Trophy quarterback in year one of his tenure at A&M, year one in the SEC. They beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa, and the folks in College Station ended up putting up millions and millions and millions of dollars to do stadium renovations, and they were all ready to take over the crown of national of college football. And now they've gone kind of back to where they probably should be and winning 8 games a year after moving from the Big 12 to the SEC. But they did it backwards and have gone from the mountaintop back down, and so there's kind of a what have you done for me lately feeling in College Station, and it's put a lot of pressure on that coaching staff. And to add, you know, to that list of a little bit of dilemma is they don't have a quarterback. Right now they've got Kellen Mond and Nick Starkle, both freshman quarterbacks, you know, trading barbs in terms of competition. And you really don't have enough reps in fall camp to get both guys ready. They're going to have to make a decision, and make a decision early if they're going to be successful in their opener against UCLA. And I don't think there's a more pivotal game in college football in the opening weekend than the UCLA-Texas A&M game as it pertains to the livelihood of the two coaches, Jim Mora and Kevin Sumlin.
Rick Neuheisel, CBS Sports college football analyst from SEC Media Days, down there all week. That is so cool. It's always great to catch up with him. Can't wait for college football to start up in just a couple of weeks. Rick, it's always great to catch up, man. Thanks so much. Enjoy the next couple of days down there.
All right, my friend. I appreciate it. See you
now. Okay. Rick Neuheisel joining us here on the show. A lot of pressure across the SEC, which there always is. I think it's on Kevin Sumlin squarely more than anybody else. I think even more than Butch Jones. Because Kevin Sumlin's AD, as Neuheisel just mentioned, said he's got to win more than 8 games this year. There's just been too many 8-5s, too many early fast starts that ended with lethargic finishes to the season for Sumlin. There's too much money in that program right now. And they are licking their chops to the potential of Chip Kelly being available to them in the offseason. He's available to anybody, obviously. But you don't think Chip Kelly would relish the opportunity to go to Texas, recruit Texas kids, Texas quarterbacks, Texas speed, run his offense down there in the SEC with now a fully renovated stadium, one of the best training facilities in the entire country? You don't think that would be somewhat intriguing to Chip? So Sumlin's got to be looking over his shoulder knowing that he's got to win 10 games this year. I don't even think 9-4 is going to do it. I think he's got to win 10 games this year to keep his job, and that's a lot of pressure. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. See, I don't know how the Ogeron fit's going to work at LSU, because while I love the cultural fit, I love Ogeron, as Neuheisel just mentioned, happiest guy in the room, gets to be the head coach at LSU. You know, and he he fits the demeanor so well of the fan base and of the way people embrace LSU in the state of Louisiana. I mean, he's a Cajun, and it's great for college football to have that personality and that type of fit. It's great for identity purposes. My worry is that essentially Ogeron is ceding all control of the offense and the defense. And how often does it work where the head coach can just basically not have that much say in either side of the football? You know, it's usually one or the other. And I'm not saying important coordinators and big-time coordinators aren't a vital part of success, because they are. But when you're Coach O, and let's say that, again, quarterback is a problem for LSU, which it always seems to be. Let's say the offense puts up 13 points and then 10 points and suddenly, back-to-back weeks, you don't have many answers for punching into the end zone, or there's red zone turnovers or something. And it comes down to Coach O, and they say, well, how are you going to fix the offense? And he goes, well, I don't know. That's what my coordinator's for. You know, that's when things start getting hairy and people want answers. And right now, it's the era of good feelings for Ogeron. But at some point, he's going to have to answer losses and question marks in either offense or defense. And if he doesn't have a control over what's going on, he's going to get lit up. So I don't know how that's going to work. I hope it works. There's a part of me that goes, is this really a solution, or is this the most comfortable fit right now? You can hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Programming note, you've seen the promos, I'm sure. ESPN's 30 for 30 on Mike and the Mad Dog, New York's legendary sports talk team, is going to air debut on Thursday night. And yours truly will be in the show.
That's very good, Damon.
Yes. Now, it's very briefly. I mean, super briefly. Like, please don't get up and go to the bathroom briefly. But they have a bunch of media members that grew up around New York listening to them opine in this, and so I'm just one of the talking heads in this. And I would say it's maybe midway through the film or so, I kind of talk about the effect that Mike and the Mad Dog's success intertwined with the success of the teams here in New York. That when they really rose to prominence was when New York had amazing sports runs. The 94 Knicks going all the way to the finals. The 94 Rangers winning the Stanley Cup. The Yankees winning in 96, 98, 99, a Subway Series in 2000. And all of these moments are kind of intertwined with their huge, huge, outsized impact in the sports realm. And they really started the sports talk the way that we know it now. So I talk a little bit about that, but again, I'm talking about like 15 seconds worth. Now, you're going to see this, and you're going to go like, okay, well, there was 15 seconds of DA. More than that, I want you to do something. When you watch this 30 for 30 on Thursday, note all of the grainy VHS-level footage from the two of them in the studio, because that's my footage, okay? I went to WFAN as a high school student in the spring of 97. That was my senior year in high school. And we had to do a high school project in my communications course. I was very, very lucky. My public high school actually offered a two-year communications course. So my senior year, our final project was, okay, you guys have to put on a TV show, produce a TV show. So, of course, me and my buddies were like, let's do a sports TV show. So me and three other guys in the class, friends of mine, went down to WFAN and the studios. We wrote a letter to them. We had our teacher call. And actually, in this crazy, karmic, bizarre twist, they called my current boss now, 20 years ago. And we got in there. And so there is my footage, our footage from that cable access show. The cable access show, it was a class project which would air in our local town's cable access once. It was called Metro Sports North, okay? There is a clip in this where they are kind of painting how Mike and the Mad Dog don't get along, but they're doing this show, and so they're kind of at the point of their relationship where they're not talking to one another. And we had them at this point in time promo Metro Sports North. That, you'll see this clip. It's, hi, this is Mike Francesa. Hello, this is Christopher Russo, and you're watching Metro Sports North. Then they put down the microphones. They don't look at one another like they're PO just to be in the same room. That's a promo for my high school show. It doesn't have me in the shot, but that is them doing a promo for my high school show. And they use it in the 30 for 30. And then all these shots where it's really awkward of them in the studio together in the 90s, that's my footage because they weren't simulcast on TV. So there was no footage of them. So these guys from the documentary, they asked me for my footage. I said, sure, you can use it. So my stuff is all over the place, which is going to be amazing. Steve Overmeyer, CBS 2, is going to join us in studio next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.